Not sure what you want to do, but you're into fitness. Tired of working a job that has no upward mobility? Are you struggling and feels like there's no way out? What if I told you that a gym membership could change your life? It may seem a bit outrageous, but that's what happened to Dustin Gutkowski. He lived in a trailer growing up, was homeless at 14, and slept on park benches to survive. You're about to hear from a man who has bounced back from the lowest lows and come out on the other side with a story that will ignite your drive to succeed, no matter where you're starting from. Dustin will share how he went from almost getting fired to making six figures, then losing it all and bouncing back. He'll tell you the mindset shift he needed to get to the next level, enter a new industry, and lead a multi-million dollar roofing business. If you're ready to learn how to turn failures into stepping stones, why empathy is a game changer in business, and how to build a company culture that breeds success, tune in. I'm your host, Junaid Iqbal. I'm a certified career coach and professional resume writer. I've written over 600 resumes for people in high school to the C-suite across all industries. With over 290 recommendations at the bottom of my LinkedIn profile, I'm also the founder of NoDegree.com and on a mission to show you that a college degree isn't necessary for success.
No degree, no problem. Any problem, we can solve them. LinkedIn insomnia keeps us evolving. We're growing in the knowing.
Welcome to another episode of the No Degree Podcast. I want to personally thank you for tuning in and supporting our show. If you haven't yet, hit that follow or subscribe button. I encourage you, don't keep this to yourself. Share these inspiring stories with your friends. Invite them to subscribe and connect with us on social media. So today I have on Dustin Gutkowski. Do you mind sharing what you do?
A few things, but main thing is roofing. I own a pretty large roofing company here in Dallas, Texas, and we got a few other businesses and investors, podcasts, but that's the main thing.
Wow. So you are not a traditional roofer, because I see a lot of roofers. They're very good at their roofing business, but they don't think about content. They don't think about expanding, and they have a certain way of getting business. So how did you expand your mindset as a roofer?
We call them roofer bros, right? Like the typical roofer bro just does the same thing normal. I think it's the falling into that trap of being comfortable, right? Everybody's done it the same way for so long. And just, you know, it was like everybody's it creates content, and content is king, and people are all over social media. And whether they're watching reels, looking at photos, interacting with people. And to me, social media is the new networking, right? It used to be you go to networking events, which I think are still great, but this is just an added element to when you can't be at a networking event or you are super busy, you're able to network through social media. And you know, I think roofing is boring. I think it's not sexy at all. Nobody wants to go roof shopping. So it's like, man, let's try to bring something like funny. Let's try to bring sexy. Let's be creative with roofing. And so let's put it on social media and see if we can kind of, I wanted to go after customers that normally maybe wouldn't have a roofer or maybe wouldn't be looking for a roofer. And so, but if we can appeal to them in some way, whether it be through something funny, whether it be through something educational, just networking in general, I wanted to go after customers that other roofers weren't targeting, right? It's kind of like one of my favorite books I've ever read. And I'm not like somebody that preaches read all, everything, but it was Blue Ocean Strategy. And it talks about creating blue oceans opposed to the red, because there's a 10% market share. And you just go after that 10%, you're not going to expand. You're only going to pull from others. And so I wanted to go after that other 90% that was out there. And so that's kind of where the content came in. And then it was like, create more eyeballs, not only on you, but on the company, right? You typically, you're your own brand. And a lot of times as, you know, owners, founders, visionaries, we are the brand. And so you want to bring more eyeballs in no matter which way it is, right? And so whether it be go on a podcast, have a podcast, link with, you know, other successful people, it's going to bring more opportunity to your business. And I just feel like it's, look, it's not what you do, it's who you do it with. And, you know, life is all about the relationships you build. And so if you can build more relationships in anything in life, most people have a home. And if most people have a home, then they need a roof. And so why not be the guy that fixes them?
I love that. And I love what you had to say about networking. Like, a lot of people don't realize how powerful social media is as a networking tool. Like, I live in New York City.
Yes.
So there are literally like hundreds of networking events every single week, probably even 500 plus. And I used to network all the time, multiple times. Like, I'd go to 3 to 5 events per week. I'd go running around. And while I did make a lot of connections, I started focusing on social media a little more, where I started networking on LinkedIn. And it became to a point where I was like, if I go to this event, I got to get ready. I got to go drive out. I got to go attend the event, XYZ, and I don't know who I'm going to meet. Or I could spend that 2 to 3 hours on social media, and I know I'm going to guarantee a sale. I'm going to guarantee a view. So I'm not saying don't go to physical networking events, a lot of people don't realize, but you don't have those capabilities all the time, right? Like sometimes you're out about, you don't have time, you don't have the bandwidth, but you have 30 minutes, an hour here. And the beauty is any platform, whether it's Twitter, whether it's Instagram, whether it's LinkedIn, whether it's small, you can meet people from all over the world, but it's all about putting yourself out there. It's all about building yourself. It's about adding value. And people sleep on it because people are like, oh, I'm not getting any value out of LinkedIn. I'm not getting any value out of Twitter. But it's like, you're not looking to understand the system. You know, it's just like same people who go to networking events, hand out their business cards like, oh, networking events don't work. It's like, no, you don't know how to make it work for you.
You're the problem, not the event. That's with social media. And I think it's understanding where you're at in the game, right? When you're brand new and you don't really have a brand or you have anything, going to networking events is great.
Yep.
And it's not to sound, but when you get to a certain level, and you're going to a free networking event at the local bar, there's probably not going to be the people you want to connect with, right? There's probably going to be a lot of people in startups. So when you're in a startup or you're in your first year in business, you probably want to go to a lot of those things because you're dealing with a lot of other people. You know, now it's almost like you got to pay to play when you reach a certain level, because successful people are going to be in different rooms. And typically those events aren't going to be free, or you got to sponsor them. You got to do something major. And then the other way you can connect is, look, if you're not connecting with the right people on Instagram or Facebook or, you know, social media in general, it's because you're either not putting out the right content, you're not the right person, or you have no value to offer. You're just expecting value for someone to give it to you, but yet you're not given any. So you have to give value in some shape or form, and you'll have to find out what you have to offer people. And so if you're not getting it, it's like, well, social media sucks. No, man, you do. Oh, networking event sucks. No, you do. You're probably the guy that goes and orders a drink, sits in the corner, doesn't talk to anyone but the person you came with, and then wonders why you don't meet people. You've got to go out there and work it, just like social media. You got to go out there and, you know, post things, going to create engagement, go engage in other people's content, right? Like, you can't just expect everyone to share yours, comment on yours, like yours, and you don't do the same for others.
Are you frustrated with your job search? Are you sending out resume after resume with no callbacks? If so, I have some good news. After 3 years of helping over 400 people land jobs at places like Meta, HubSpot, Google, Twitter, Amazon, Tesla, Disney, Sony, I created a course. In the Get Your Dream Career course, you'll discover best practices for creating a resume that stands out, and you'll also learn how to optimize your job search. It covers every aspect of the job, including resumes, application strategy, networking, LinkedIn profile optimization, interview guidance, and salary negotiation. You will also get a behind-the-scenes view of how recruiters use LinkedIn to find candidates. And of course, you'll get resume and cover letter templates. Get one step closer to your dream job. Sign up at the link in the notes below. Yeah, and you know what? When I started social media, it's been 5 years since I've been active on LinkedIn, and I grew to 43,000 followers. And I'll have people hit me up like, hey, I want to have this post do well. And I'd be like, okay, I just went through your activity. I was like, you're asking me for help. Last time you engaged with me was 6 months ago. So I was like, look, you can't expect others people to show up for you when you need them to if you're not showing up for other people. It's just so many people think about networking as, hey, I need something, I'm going to go network. It's like, you need to network well before you need it, right? The reason I can call some people at 2 a.m. is because years, right? Like, I can't just call someone new at 2 a.m. Hey, I need help. I have something to do 9 a.m. this morning. But there are some people I could do it because I've also been that person. So a lot of people don't realize, like, they'll get 4 likes. It's like, you get 4 likes, you better go to those 4 likes, go like 5 of their posts, go leave comments. Maybe one of them becomes a true fan. And a lot of people are not willing to do that. And I'm like, look, you won't ever get past that 5 likes if you're not giving 50 likes to other people throughout the day, because you got to give out more than you expect to take in.
100%. That's spot on.
Yeah. So you dropped so much knowledge on networking. So hopefully everybody took notes. Now let's kind of go back. How was high school like for you, and what'd you want to be in high school?
High school was the best time and the worst time. And literally, like, the reason it was the best time, because it was my escape from reality in a way. I had a troubled upbringing. I was homeless at a young age, 14 years old. Stayed on a park bench multiple nights, you know, bounced around from house to house. And, you know, before that, I was living, you know, in a rundown trailer. We got evicted from different spots. You know, a lot of times we didn't have running water. We didn't have electricity, you know, no food. And so going to school was kind of an escape from all that, right? But then also going to school was completely hell, because you got, you know, I don't want to say bullied. I learned how to defend myself, but you got made fun of. You know, you did get bullied in an emotional way. People made fun of your clothes. They made fun of your shoes. Didn't really have a lot of friends early on because, you know, I was just a dirt poor white trash kid. And so it was both, man. And, you know, I was lucky that when I was like 16, I think, I got to go live with a friend and, you know, I was able to do some stuff and got some, you know, better clothes, better shoes, and high school started becoming fun for me. But I had no plan. I was just getting through. It took me 5 years to even graduate, right? Like, yeah. So there was really no plan. It was, I honestly had no freaking idea what I was going to do after high school. Like, zero. I wasn't going to go to college. That was nowhere in the cards. I didn't have a plan for a job. It was wild, man. Like, I had nothing. Like, I had no idea even closely to what I wanted to do. And so I didn't even know what I wanted to be. I never understood what I wanted to be, partly because I never even knew who I was. You know, I was kind of living that, I would say, a fraudulent life of pretending to be somebody I wasn't because I was just embarrassed by my past. So the less people that knew the truth about my past, I always thought they would judge me for it. So I tried to cover it up as best as possible. And so when I got done with high school, I was kind of just a lost cause, man. I had no idea.
I mean, it's tough, right? When you're worried about survival, yeah, and you don't know where you're going to sleep, you don't know when you're going to eat next. It's like, you can't really think about, hey, in 10 years, I'm going to be this. In 20 years, I'm going to be that. Because it's like, you don't know what things are like going to be next week. So you mentioned you're a lost cause. So what happened? Like, did you try to find a job? Like, what'd you try to do?
Yeah, so I got a job. I mean, a little bit after high school. What's funny was at high school, I didn't have a place to work out after high school, right? So I was like, man, I need a gym membership. If you got a job at the gym, you get a free gym membership. And so I've applied for a sales position at the gym, 24 Hour Fitness, and I got it. So I got a free gym membership. But then I saw, cats were making like good money. And I fell in love with it. After about, it was weird. It took me a couple months because I had some like terrible leaders early on. But when I started to understand it, I fell in love with it. And I think it was kind of that escape. It was kind of like high school again. It's like, man, I could work all the time and dictate my life. And I think what was fun about it, I got addicted to being at work. Because again, it was like the escape, right? Of I don't have to go to my reality and I could kind of create it. And I was still like, I had no sense whatsoever. You know, I was a wild man. But it gave me some type of sense of direction, like a little bit. And so I got a job. I actually worked. It was crazy. My first job, really. I had a job like trying to wait tables one day. And I quit that on the first day right after lunch. I was like, I got a job to wait tables. And they told me how to be a busser. And I was like, I'm out of here. And they're like, oh, well, you get a free lunch. So I took the lunch and then bounced. It was just over this. So really, like, my first job, man, out of high school was in the fitness industry. And I had bartended a little bit in high school because it took me 5 years to graduate. So I was like 18, 19 years old bartending at this like hotel. And so I guess that technically was like my first job. And I was doing that a little bit after high school. But after about a year, I was like, man, I need a gym membership. I didn't really want to bartend because it was taken away from going out. So I got a job in the fitness industry. And I actually was in the fitness industry for 15 years. So like, wow. I stayed in it for a long time, man. It was really the only job I ever had. Kind of loved the competitiveness of it. And it was weird, man. It taught me a lot about life and leadership. And, you know, through the time I kind of grew up in that industry, met a lot of great mentors. My business partner today was actually my mentor in the fitness industry. So it came full circle. Like, you know, he was like my first real mentor leader. And then now, you know, I own the company and he works with me. He's my business partner. And so I met him through there. So I learned a lot through the fitness industry, learned a lot. So many great mentors, colleagues, and people that I still talk to. It was an amazing journey, and I really don't think I'd be where I'm at without it. I'd made a lot of mistakes along the way because I was still a child, and I never grew up, didn't have a father figure. And it's not excuses, but I thought the way I acted was appropriate. I thought that it was okay to act that way because I had done it my whole life. And then through that journey of, you know, success and failures along the way and everything in between, I really ultimately kind of failed my way through success by learning as I went and, you know, aligning with the right mentors. And it was really the whole process, man, was kind of led me here today. You know, looking back, it's like, wow, if I hadn't gone through that, I probably wouldn't be here today. Although that was a bad time in my life, I learned so much from it. And it was a great experience, man. It was a great experience for me as a person, for me professionally, and all of the above. And I didn't realize it till probably later on in life, but it was.
Let's go into it. Like, how was it the first year? Because you mentioned you loved it. What made you successful during that first year?
I almost got fired, man. So I actually, like, my first manager, my GM, my first day on the job, he's like, I'm going to go teach you how to do outreach. And I was like, okay, cool. We're going to go do outreach. He takes me and he's like, in his car, he's like, hey, you want Starbucks? And I'm like, oh, I don't drink coffee. At the time, you know, I didn't drink coffee. So he comes out with two Starbucks. And I'm like, I just said I didn't want coffee. He's like, oh, it's not for you. And I'm like, well, there's nobody in the car. Where? What are we doing? We drive to a house. He's like, I'm like, whose house is this? He's like, it's mine. Just stay in the car. He goes in the house, man, for literally 2 to 3 hours and comes back. And I'm like, what the hell is this about? He's like, oh, man, this is my house, but my ex threw me out of my house. So we were in there just talking. And I'm like, this is outreach? So we walk to like this local spot, hand out like 10 business cards and go back. And I was like, okay, this can't seem right. But that happened all the time. So then my second manager comes in and he ends up getting fired for almost the same thing. So my first 90 days, that was what I was trained with. So I had no idea what I was doing, zero. So about 3 to 4 months in, man, our regional manager, who by the way was incredible, he comes in and basically gonna clean house. And I'm like, hey man, in fairness, I understand, but I've never once trained. He's like, oh, that's what everybody says. And so I told him the story and he was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. He's like, look, I'm gonna give you one more shot. You know, I'm gonna give you one more shot, but you gotta turn it around. And he laid out clear expectations of what we needed to do. And he, you know, showed us like the money we could make. And I was like, oh wow, like we could do really well here. Well, I started implementing some of the things, and I actually, we had two sales reps, and then one of them, man, I still talk to him today. He's a little bit older than me. His name was Jason Connery. Shout out to Jason. I got love for him. But I really latched onto him, man, and he showed me a lot. So I kind of just followed his keys to success and just watched him. And then it became addicting because, you know, when you create a win, it feels good. And then you're like, I want to feel that again. And so I started creating. And I think what I did was I didn't have the skills. I didn't have the experience, but I was like, man, I have something none of these guys have, time. You know, I was a 19-year-old kid, 19, 20 years old at the time. I didn't have anything else. I didn't have really family. All I had was that. So I worked 7 days a week. I just put in more work than everyone. And then what happened was I got really good because, you know, most of the guys are working 5 days a week. I was working seven. Most of them were working 8 hours a day. I would try to work 12 to 14. I would just put in more time and do things even outside of work to meet people and network. At the time, people are like, oh, that was incredible. When did you realize it? I didn't know it was going to work out. It was just something that I got addicted to creating wins. I got super competitive about looking at the sales stats. I always wanted to be at the top. So I was like, man, these guys have families. I don't have that. I'm going to work extra. These guys need days off. I don't need that. I'm going to work extra. Even when I went out and partied or went out the night before, I'd make sure I was somewhere close so I could be there early. And it really contributed to my success because I learned so much faster in that first year. You know, things that were taking people 3 years to learn, I was learning in one. I was able to get, you know, better results because I was putting in more time. If you're working 8 hours a day and I'm working 12 to 14, I could get almost double the results you did in one day. And so it allowed me to get ahead. So I might not have been the best. I might not have been the smartest, but I had the edge of time and I put in more effort and more time than everyone else. I started getting better as time went on. And as I got better, I fell in love with it more because typically we don't like things we're not good at, right? If we're not good at a sport and someone invites us to play, it's not fun to play with someone that's just going to beat the living daylights out of you. But when you start getting good at something, it's like, wow, man, I really enjoy this. And that's what started happening. And I just got addicted to it. I got addicted to the process and the competitiveness. And it was always there because every month you would, you know, track your stats. And we did a lot of company contests. And so I was having fun, man. It was probably really one of the times in my life where I started having a lot of fun and I felt like I belonged somewhere. It made me feel like I was a part of a community, part of a family, which I really didn't have. And it became so addicted, man.
What was one of the first big wins, right? Because you had the time where you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, and you're trying different things. What was one of those first big wins? And at what point were you like, wow, I'm actually like, I'm not bad at this. Like, I can actually do this.
I would say one of the first ones when I started, I had no money. And I wasn't making a lot of money at first, and my car got repoed.
Oh.
So I was like 19-year-old kid. My car got repoed, and I was like, man, I didn't have a car.
What car was it?
I had this single cab Ford truck. It was a green car. It was terrible, by the way. Green Ford truck, single cab with a little step side. And it got repoed out of the parking lot. It was terrible, dude. While I was working, they're like, they're towing your car. And I was like, I think I was even like, oh, well, they're working on it or something. Like, it was so bad. I was so embarrassed. And so I had to get rides from friends every day to work. And I just stayed there. And luckily I didn't live far. So it was pretty easy to get there. But in 3 months, I was able to buy like really my own car. And that was a huge win for me. And then fast forward, like a win that probably one of the best ones was the company I was at, they do a Hawaii contest, and it was like for the number one revenue riders in the state. So like you had Dallas, Austin, Houston, and they took the top two. And I was number one, and I got to go on this Hawaii contest. So for me, it was amazing because I don't even think I'd been outside the state at this point because I'm 19, 20 years old. And I won this Hawaii all-paid contest, and it was the time of my life. And it was the first win where I was like, man, I could do something with myself, right? Like, that was when I could start telling, like, man, I was the number one in the company, and I'm going to this Hawaii trip with the who's who, like people I looked up inside the organization I was going with. And we were a large company at the time. And so that was really like the first time where I was like, holy shit, like, let's go, right? So, you know, buying the car is obviously like a more personal thing where it was just, you know, get buy your own car. It's like, wow, man, I can do this. And then winning that contest and then to kind of put it all together was when I made enough money. I was making six figures. And back, this is like back in 04, right? 05. So you make 100,000 back then. That's a lot of money. I was able to buy my first home. You know, it was just like these small little accomplishments that I really had only dreamed of in life. And I was able to accomplish some of them at a young age, you know, 21, 22 years old. It was great. You know, and then it all came crashing down a few years later because of poor decisions. But yeah, I had gone from the bottom, kind of got up there to a really good peak and then right back down. And that was really the hard part. But it felt good during that time to have those successes and create them on my own.
Yeah, a lot of people think like once you get to the top, you just stay there, right? And no. Staying at the top is different than getting to the top. I find getting to the top is harder, but you still have to pull a lot of the right things to sort of get to the top. So do you mind sharing like what? Like things were going well, and then how did these things happen? Because I also find that in life and in entrepreneurship, when it rains, it pours, right? You make like, it's not like one bad decision and this other thing happens and this other thing happens.
You know, I don't know which one's harder, staying at the top or getting there. I think they're both hard. I think the reason it's harder to stay at the top is because we start thinking that success lasts forever from previous decisions, and it doesn't. You have to make decisions and almost bolder decisions to stay there. And I got really cocky and arrogant and full of myself. And so when I made it to the top there, you know, I was still working for somebody else and I thought I called my own shots. And I started making stupid decisions. I was making really good money. So I was going out more. I was drinking more. I had, you know, again, this was, let's just call it between 22 and 24. Got two DWIs like back to back, like just making dumb decisions. And when you make decisions like that, you deserve to be punished. And what happened was I was dealing with that. So it was causing a level of frustration and drama and that type of life. You know, one of them got dropped because, again, blaming out. Maybe it shouldn't have happened, but it did. But it got dropped. I was still dealing with that one. And it didn't look good, right? Because where there's smoke, there's fire. And I was doing the wrong things. And then I popped off to a person I shouldn't have popped off to at the organization thinking I was untouchable, and I got fired. And again, rightfully so. So I lost it all. Like, end up having to sell my home for a loss or was going to get foreclosed on. You know, I went from this level of being up here to nothing. And that was the hardest thing. It was not growing up in the trailer park that was hard. It wasn't growing up poor that was hard. It wasn't growing up in that abusive family, all those things. It was making it to a level of having your own car, your own money, your own house, and then losing it all was the worst feeling ever. It was worse than before because I tasted what it was like to be up there. And I told myself, if I ever got back there, man, I'm going to do things the right way. And I'm going to stay grounded in what I'm doing. And I'm not going to get full of myself again. I'm not going to start acting like that because I lost it because of my stupid decision-making of thinking I was more important and bigger than what I was, because I wasn't. You know, I was just a guy working for somebody else, but I thought I was the man. I thought I could say what I wanted and do what I want and there'd be no consequences. And I learned that lesson the hard way, man. I learned it. It was a tough lesson, but it was a lesson that I needed to learn.
And even if you are working for yourself, you still gotta, you know, you can't just pop off to, you know, you could have customers you could have things drop you. And I've seen a lot of people who work for themselves, like they hit success, they hit this momentum, and they get cocky and they don't take the feedback and they don't have the humbleness because it's like, look, there's always, just because you work for yourself, there are other people who are also doing the same things, right? There are other people who are competing. So now, how did you recollect yourself? How did you bounce back from this time where like, wow, I've lost it all and it sucks? What did you have to do and what did you have to change to kind of get back on that road that gets you to where you wanted again?
I had to eat a lot of shit. I had to go through everything. I finally got another job after that. It took a while, but I got another job, but I didn't have any money, and I was working in a gym in San Antonio. So I'd moved from basically Austin to San Antonio, and I was living in my car for about 30 days, literally getting up early, working out and shower in the gym, and then sleeping in my car. I would actually try to sleep in my office at work when it was I was able to, you know, but I tried not to too much because I didn't want people seeing me like in the office and then going to the bathroom or something. So I'd sleep in my car. It was tough, man, but I was like, okay, I just got it one day at a time. And I never really rebounded for a long time. Like I had some really good jobs along the way, you know, jobs making really good money. It probably really took me about 6 to 7 years to really get to a good spot, but I never really did. Not to where I want it to be. And I think part of that was I never really developed into the person I was supposed to be, right? I was always trying to get better at sales and I was always pushing to sell. But I never worked on myself, like that personal development. And I never like really got to know who I was or what I wanted to be. And when you don't know who you are, you're never going to figure out what you want to do in life, right? Like how are you ever going to figure out what you want to put your time, effort, energy in if you don't even know what you like, you don't know who you are. And I just never did that. I ignored that. I didn't read. I didn't listen to like, you know, productive podcasts. I didn't, you know, do any kind of self-help, self-development. I didn't, you know, any courses, nothing. And I just focused on myself in a selfish way. And I was a very selfish person. I didn't give. I always took. It was like, well, what's in it for me? And I use the best analogy was like, when you go to the store and you open the door, do you hold it open just for the thank you? And when somebody doesn't say thank you, you get mad.
You're like, you're welcome.
It's like, if you're only holding the door open so you get a thank you, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Like, hold the door open because it's the right thing to do regardless of what the other person does. But for me, it was always like, well, I'm going to do you this favor, but what am I getting in return? Or if I did something, I wanted something back. And I wasn't a giving person. I was very selfish. I blamed my past. I kind of played this victim mode. Well, I'm here because of this. Everyone's against me. It took me until really, man, my son was born. I had my first son, me and my wife did, when I was 35, because he's 6 years old. And when she was pregnant, I started trying to be better, but I didn't really understand it. But when I saw my wife holding my son for the first time, man, it was an emotion that I can't feel. Like, I'm going to give these to the world, and I'm going to make them proud that, you know, one, I'm her husband and the father of a child, and I'm going to make my son proud that I'm his dad. And I've got to figure out and become the person that I want to be. And it's not easy. And you overcome a lot of, you know, whether it be generational curses, you have a lot of years of decision-making that you just piss poor decisions. But I was like, I'm going to do everything in my power just to get better. I'm going to do everything in my power to understand who I was. And I started just focusing on like, man, who's Dustin Gutkowski? Like, what do I like? Who do I want to become? Like, what am I into? And I started doing a lot of that. Instead of listening to music, I was listening to like, you know, productive reels or productive podcasts or coaching, lifestyle, just listening to other people's opinions and perspectives. Whether I agreed with them or not, I was listening to powerful and positive thinking, right? And I started to understand who I was, man. And it's an everyday journey, right? You change and evolve as a person. But I spent so much time on focusing on things that I enjoy and things on how I can be better and my decision-making and understanding who I am. So, because I felt like I had an emotional reaction for everything. So when I started to understand who I was and that I was an emotional guy, when that emotion started coming on, I could like at least control it a little bit. Like, okay, Dustin, you're emotional, man. Relax. Like, let's you know what happens when you make these emotional decisions. So let's let this emotion come up. What's the solution? I'm feeling this way. I have this problem. What's the solution? If I pop off and say something stupid, I'm going to regret it later. Why don't you just relax for a little bit, then figure out the proper solution, and then let's make a decision then. It's because I was aware of it. And so being aware of it sometimes is just a better. It's like if you walk into someone's kitchen and you don't know the plate's hot and you touch it, you had no idea. But if somebody tells you the plate's hot, you're at least aware that if you touch it, it's hot. So I started just becoming aware of who I was, man, and just putting a lot of focus in on the person I wanted to become. And when I started doing that, and then I said, you know what? I'm just going to give to people, man. And if people screw me over, that's their loss. I'm going to take over this. I'm going to do the world. And if they screw me over, steal from me, that says everything about them, nothing about me. And I started just giving more than I took. And I started focusing on the person I wanted to become. And then when I focused on that, I was like, wow, this is what I really want to do in life. I want to do this. I want to build this. And it just opened up a side that I'd never had before. And that's what really changed. And then I just put all my effort in that. And I spent my whole life trying to please people around me because I was afraid of what they thought of me because of my past and what I had been through and, you know, all the stuff that my life, like, I had done. And when you're trying to please everybody, man, you're never happy. And then I realized I'm more happy being by myself, working on me, than I am with 100 people around me trying to make them happy. And I was like, I'm only going to focus on making myself happy and what becoming the person I want to be. And then I can make my wife happy. Then I can make my kids happy. Because if I'm not happy and miserable, I'm not going to make anyone around me happy. And so I started focusing on that. And I call it a selfishly unselfish way. And it changed my life, man. It changed my life dramatically.
That's spot on, because so many people want to change the world around them. But it starts with you, right? If you want to change the world, first you got to change yourself.
You're never going to change your world if you don't change your world.
Yep.
And you've got to change your own ecosystem first.
Yeah, because then it's just, you know, it comes from that foundation, right? You need to be the best version of yourself to make sure that you can have the best impact on those around you. So
yes.
Now you're on this road where you're like, hey, I'm learning a lot about myself. And one thing I also want to share with the guest is that passion is sort of built. You know, people think like, hey, I'm going to just go find my passion. Like, you go to the passion store and you find it. It's like, no, you start putting in work into things and you enjoy it and you start realizing how much you enjoy it. And then that's where that passion comes, right? From that realization and that effort, right? Like, you see the most successful people in the world, right? They do have something that they're passionate about, whether it's competitiveness, whether it's being on top, whether it's a, you know, a sports game, whether it's the people around them or the community, they have something that drives them and they do it by putting in work, right? It's not like they sit on their couch expecting to just find their passion by watching TV. So now you're on this road to recovery. You're making a lot of progress. You're growing into the person you want to be. Now, what's changing? Like, what's the next job that you get? How did you eventually get into roofing? Because I still haven't heard anything about roofing yet.
Yeah, man. Roofing was wild. So I was still in the fitness industry the whole time, right? And I saw people going into the roofing industry and having success, and no disrespect to any of them, but I was like, man, if this guy's having success in there and doing that kind of work, why can't I? I had heard the horror stories of the roofing industry. I had heard the money in the roofing industry. I'd heard all these things. And I'm like, we could do it better and do it the right way. Kind of take some of the fitness industry stuff that we learned and apply it to roofing. And it kept coming up, man. You just know, like, it kept being brought up, like, randomly. And I was actually living in Michigan running gyms. And I interviewed like two GMs and I offered them jobs of way more money than they were making at their current fitness center. And they both turned me down. And I was like, so I called them up and I said, hey, I just, you know, feedback, you know, why did you decline the offer? And they're like, hey, man, we loved the offer. We loved the company. We loved you, but we're going to get into roofing. And I'm like, wait, roofing? And then that happened multiple times. And I saw friends I knew getting into roofing. And so when I start digging into the industry, I was like, there is a lot of problems in this industry and I could provide solutions. And so I was actually doing, you know, the health clubs. I was working for a great company and I decided, man, I want to do roofing. And my wife was like, you're crazy, like roofing. And I think part of the decision making was a guy that I was talking to was back in Dallas. That was home for us. My wife wanted to be in Dallas. So we made the decision to get back in roofing because I'm like you, man. You're typically passionate about things you're good at or you have interest in, right? Like, people are like, go out there and find your passion. Dude, fuck that. Take your passion with you, right? You typically have a passion for things that you're good at. Like, if you can't play baseball, you probably don't have a serious passion for it. Now, if you're a diehard fan and you love it, but I'm talking about things you do, right? Like, hobbies that you have a passion for, it's probably because, like you said, you put in the work, you're pretty good at it, and it interests you. And so, for me, it's like I've realized I'm a very passionate person. The things that I do, I put a lot of time, effort, and energy in. And things I don't want to do, I don't do them. Yeah. And I didn't fall in love with roofing. What I fell in love with was homeowners were having a tragic situation, whether it was a hailstorm, high windstorm, leaks. And they were dealing with worse contractors who were lying to them, cheating them, stealing from them, taking money up front and leaving. And I'm like, what if we did it the right way? This homeowner's got something tragic. They're trusting a contractor with their home that they raise their family in. Why can't we just make the experience better? And so I was like, here's the problem. Here's the solution. So I fell in love with that piece of it, being able to help customers through that situation, right? And then for the people that worked for me was I was able to give people a platform to be something and to be a part of something bigger than themselves. Like maybe they weren't going to have an opportunity or a shot in life like myself, so we had to go create it. So create an opportunity where people could come here and learn and they could grow and they could become better, not only professionally, but personally. And so it was both sides. It was to create a play in roofing for the employees, but then create a better experience for the homeowners. And I fell in love with that. Roofing is just a vehicle to do that, right? And so people are like, do you have a passion for roofing? Absolutely not, man. Zero. I have no passion for roofing. We run a large roofing company. We did $40 million last year in our fourth year. But I have a passion for making sure customers are taken care of. And through that, we learn and get better about roofing. Through that, we hire the best contractors to install the roofs. We provide the best warranties. We partner with the best shingle distributors and manufacturers because I have that passion for taking care of customers. So part of that is being super knowledgeable about roofing, hiring experts in the industry to come work for us to provide that level of service. And so I fell in love with that piece, right? I took my passion with me. And so it really has nothing to do with roofing. It's about the people. It's the number one most important thing.
I see this with a lot of people, right? They're in industries and they're like, hey, this industry is not something that I necessarily care about. But at the end of the day, it's like when you see a family that's been impacted and you can genuinely make them have a good experience or like, hey, Dustin, thank you so much. You know, like,
yeah,
this was my family home. This was a new home. This was XYZ. You know, you gave me comfort. And then regardless of whether you're passionate about roofing or how you got there, you're passionate about that end result where they feel comfortable. Now, what would you say? Because you've grown the company to $40 million a year in 4 years, and that's extremely impressive. Yeah. But a lot of people don't realize that, hey, I'm going to go do this and do the same thing. And a lot of people don't realize it happens because you made all these mistakes, right? So you came in as the best version of yourself. What are some things that you say you did well to get to this point? Like you're like, hey, the old version of me, I would not have been able to do this because of XYZ.
Yeah, the selfish thing is a huge one. Being unselfish in areas, and I think having empathy. Being a father has taught me so much about life, about patience and, you know, having empathy for people. And so being able to critique yourself in a way like, hey, man, the leader you were in year one can't be the same leader in year two, in year three, in year four. You have to be able to evolve, adapt, grow. And, you know, I'll just use something simple is like when we first started the organization, I would probably drink, I don't know, man, once or twice every couple months, right? Let's just say for argument's sake, I would drink once a month, right? I haven't drank, I don't know, over a year, year and a half. And not because any event, not because I'm sober, I'm not working some program, just because having alcohol in my body is not going to help me be better. I will say I was very sporadic at working out. I gained a lot of weight, you know, opening the business, and I used it as an excuse. Now, exercise and health is such a part of my life. It's every day because being tired in the middle of the day, you know, being overweight, not waking up early, not being able to be motivated because of my health and my weight, not where I'm going to go. And so establishing like those type of non-negotiables was huge for me. And then caring about people and having empathy, because before I was so selfish, I was a good manager, which is not what you want to be, because managers manage people, they manage tasks. Leaders lead people. And I don't think I was a good leader. So I think I was more of a manager. And I only cared about like myself and my stats and being at the top, opposed to everybody. And when people always want these tricks, when you open a company, I'm going to be successful. Look, man, you can, if you're going to be a mom and pop and have you and a couple guys, you can be ultra successful. But if you want to build a massive brand and massive company, it boils down to one thing. It's people, and you have to care for them. If you do not care for people, you will never build a long-lasting, sustainable company, because they will leave, because they will feel it. Because what do you really offer them besides a paycheck? They could pick any company in the world to go get a paycheck. Now, if you're paying at the top of the line, they might stay longer, but eventually they're going to get frustrated and they're going to leave, right? You got to make them feel important. You got to make them feel a part of it. You got to show them you care. They have to sense you care. And if you don't, they're going to see right through it. And so the number one thing that we've done is I never lose track of the people. It's like, I really feel like I work for them. They don't work for me. I'm grateful for them being here. It's like all the companies, just think about, there's 7,000 roofing companies in Dallas-Fort Worth. You chose Results Roofing. You could have picked anywhere, man. I'm thankful for the opportunity to work with you here. Even though it's my company, it doesn't matter. And trying to always evolve on, are we paying properly? Are we doing the right things? Do we bring value to our employees? Like, not just they bring value to us. Are we providing value to them professionally? Are we making them better as people, right? Are they better when they leave here than when they got hired here, right? Are we pushing them to be their best version of themselves? Are we providing life coaching about investments and taxes and, you know, being a father and a better husband, a wife, significant other, like providing real life value for them too, not just professional value. I'm constantly thinking of that. And then I'm like, are we doing the right kind of contest to build the right culture? Are we doing company events and retreats to bring people together, right? I'm always thinking about how we can take care of the people more, because they're in turn going to take care of the customers, which in turn are going to build a better company. And I can tell you, man, like, I didn't always think like that. I always thought, what's in it for me? And I could have never built this company by always thinking, what's in it for me? And it's giving more than you take. And so, you know, there's a lot of course tactical things you do along the way. But I will say is like, look, I'm not afraid to fail. And I don't give a fuck what anyone thinks about me or says. And so many of us, we're afraid to put ourselves out there. We're afraid to fail, not because of the failure. We're afraid of what people are going to say about us. We're afraid of the judgment, right? That's the whole dance like no one's watching, because no one's going to judge you. Well, man, work like no one's watching. Build your company like no one's watching, and then fail your way to success. Just keep making mistakes, but don't quit, right? Because it only takes one time to be right. That's it, man. It's one time. And so I don't have that fear of judgment. I couldn't care less. Like, it doesn't bother me what you say about me. It doesn't bother me what you think, because I'm going to keep winning. And eventually when the clock strikes zero, I'm going to win. And that's my only mindset. And so I'm not worried about the L's along the way. I'm not worried about the interceptions. I'm going to study it. I'm going to review it. I'm going to get better. And then it's over. I'm moving on. And I'm going to keep going. And I don't let it frustrate me. I don't let it get me down. Like, The main thing is the end prize. And I know that I need everyone here with me. I can't do it alone. I don't want to do it alone. I'm taking a freaking army with me to the top, man. We're all coming. And I want us all to win. And I want us to win in a big way. And I firmly believe that. And you couldn't tell me anything otherwise. And so I think if you just do those things, you'll eventually get there, man. But you got to stop worrying about what people think about you. You got to stop like, well, what if it doesn't work? Well, what if it does work? Right? So it's flipping your mindset.
I love the fact of how you approach like the employees, because oftentimes a lot of people think that they own their employees. Hey, it's my company. You do what I say. I run the rules. But here's the fact. Your employees, right? If all you offer is a paycheck, like you said, that's all they'll look at it, right? But now if you offer much more, your employees have their own goals. They have their own visions, right? If you realize they care about family and you're like, hey, you know what? I understand you want to drop off your kids to school, or you want to pick up your kid if you can make up the work. That's worth more than any paycheck. Like, hey, I get to pick Absolutely. Up my school. I get to watch my child's baseball game. I get to watch, you know, I get to go to their activities. For a parent, that's a lot of things. If you see someone young and you're like, hey, you want to start your own business? Hey, you know what? I'm going to guide you. I'm going to mentor you. The fact is, your employees and your ex-employees are the best, or one of the best sources of referrals for future employees, because current employees kind of have to, right? You pay them. All that. But an ex-employee who talks good about you, right? Because I'm looking at your company as like, damn, I wish I had a company like yours to work for. It's like people want to work for that, right? People want to feel valued, because once they see they value you, they're going to value your results. Because too often people see, hey, this owner's getting rich. I'm not going with the owner, right? They could drop me at a dime. But now when they see like, hey, I'm invested in this. This owner's invested in me. I'm going to do what I can to make sure they get to the top, because I know I'm going to be along for the ride.
Yeah. And, you know, look, it's funny. We have 24, 25 stockholding partners. So if we ever sold the company or invested, they'd get paid, right? So they have a long-term investment. We try to overpay people so they stay. And it's really funny, man. The thing that let's say that me and somebody have a problem and we fire them or whatever, then I understand why that guy fucking hates me. Like, whatever, man. Like, I have no sweat, right? It is what it is. But what cracks me up is we've had multiple people quit over the 4 years that they quit, right? Because the grass is greener. They found a better opportunity. Yeah. They get emotional. They quit, right? And then they hate us. And I laugh because I'm like, look, man, you quit the company because you were going to go off and do great things. With respect, man, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Yeah. I wish you nothing but the best, my guy, but we're not friends. But then they grow this hatred towards us. And it's always boils down to this, because typically they're not doing anything with their lives, and it was a lot harder than they thought, and they had a great opportunity here, so now they hate it for blowing it, because we do create a lot of great opportunity. And it's not to sound arrogant or cocky at all, but look, man, there's people here that we sell the company are going to become multimillionaires. There's people that their life has changed from working here. They went from making $20,000 a year to $300,000 a year. You know, we have 15 guys making $200,000 a year plus. Right? We have people, and they've worked their ass off to get there. And so when I see these people that quit on their own accord because they were going to go do whatever or got a better opportunity, and then it didn't work out, they start hating us. And I just, it makes me laugh, because I'm like, what are you really mad about? You're mad because you left my company and now it's my fault, right? Like, how is it my fault? Because you thought I should have treated you some type of way, but the company that you went to next literally didn't care about you so much that you quit within 30 days, 60 days. It didn't work out, right? Shocker. The problem wasn't me, man. It was you. And you couldn't see it, but I tried to help coach you through it. The next company doesn't care because they care about the number. They care about their profit, and they're not worried about you. And people don't understand that, and they don't realize it until it's gone, right? And so also, too, with life as leaders, there's only so many people I can take along for the ride. And it's going to be the people that are coachable. It's going to be the people that have great attitudes. I can't drag you along, because then you're just going to drag me down. Now I can coach you and lead you and give you the advice on things to do to watch out for that landmine. You skip that pothole. But if I have to drag you along, man, I got to let go, because you're not going to do it anyways. And so it's just funny to me, man. That's been the most like craziest thing that I've learned, that and the people that you never would have thought support you become your biggest fans. Yep. And the people that you thought were your biggest fans become your number one enemy. That part is like, they tell you it's going to happen, but you're like, wow, man, this stranger on social media became my biggest fan, became one of my best friends. And then one of my best friends becomes my biggest enemy. And why? Because I decided to chase my goals and dreams, because I tried to better my life. I tried to family. Well, you changed. Yeah, man, I did. You should try it. It's really good when you change and stop becoming a victim and you start trying to better yourself. But people don't want to see that, man, because it reminds them of what they couldn't do. It reminds them of that you two came from the same place and they stayed the same. And, you know, for me, like, Dustin, is it personal? Yes, it's personal. It's personal for me because I want to be better. I want to inspire people to be better. It is personal. I have one life. Why would I not live it? I don't want to sit around and talk about my problems all day. I don't want to sit around and dwell. I want to go do shit. I want to have some action. I want to accomplish something. That's real fulfillment to me. And I want to inspire as many people as possible so then they can inspire as many people as possible. And I don't have time to sit around and talk about what's going wrong the whole time. It just doesn't make sense to me. Yeah.
Love what you had to say about being coachable, being able to take feedback. I think it's really a reflection on them, because look, people have different goals, right? You don't have to, you know, if someone leaves, they can just be like, hey, Dustin, here's what I want to do. I want to try it, you know, really appreciate it. And I find that, why would you burn a bridge for someone who actually supported you and all that? Because who knows what can happen in 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Like you mentioned, like that mentor who you worked under is now your business partner, right? If you had burned a bridge, crazy. Like, hey, screw you, I'm going to off to bigger and better things, blah, blah. People see that growth and all that. So now I want to really ask you, what are the salary ranges for people who, you know, are sort of in the gyms, right? So what are realistic salaries, like the low end? Hey, you can make $30,000 a year. Just so people have an idea of like, hey, here's what I can expect.
Nowadays, you know, I've been out of the game for like 5 years now, right? Almost five, a little over four. So like when I started, sales reps in the gym industry were making $30,000 to about $100,000.
Yeah.
Assistant managers were about $50,000 to about $115,000. And then GMs were about, you know, $65,000, $70,000. Some were making like $150,000 plus.
Yeah.
That was back in the day. That was back in like, you know, early 2000s to 2010, 12, something like that, if I remember. Now it's like $20,000 to $60,000. Like GMs of health clubs aren't really making a lot, maybe $75,000. A lot of the industry, because it's saturated, right? It's like there used to be one gym in a town, now there's 40. So there's the LA Fitnesses, the 24 Hour Fitness, the Lifetimes, the Planet Fitness, Anytime Fitness, Snap Fitness, Clubfit. I don't even know all the names, right? UFit, Fitness Connect. I mean, they're all over the place. So it's just saturated. So before you had to say just one gym in town, or maybe you had four. Well, you were paying four general managers. Now you're paying 15. So the money's just less than what it used to be. But you know, back in the day, you could make a lot of money in it.
Yeah. Now, what about in roofing? Like, how much can people make in roofing?
Our top sales guy made $500,000 last year, and then we had one make $400,000, and then $350,000, $300,000. So there's guys that are making a lot of money in it. Now, those guys are working a lot. They're working 6-7 days a week. They're putting in the work. They're really helping a lot of customers. There is a lot of money to make in roofing, man. It's from a need, right? Yeah. Like, it was an essential business during COVID. You know, disaster strikes, or people need their roof replaced. There's a lot of money to be made. But again, I would say probably the average person, 50 to 75, right? Okay. It's a great industry, man. You get to help people.
Now, if you saw your like 14 to 18 year old self walking across the street today in 2024, what would you tell that version of Dustin?
If I was walking across the street, I might hit him with my car because that dude was trouble. If I saw myself between 14 and 18, I think it's like what I said earlier is stop trying to please everyone and stop listening to the outside noise, because literally none of it matters. People's opinion of you says everything about them, nothing about you, and none of it matters. And I think at that age, we care so much about what other people think, and we think it's like the end all be all, and it's nothing. It literally means nothing. It could be one person's opinion of you, good or bad, and you literally could have millions of people in your city, depending on when you live, and you're justifying everything good or bad off of one, even five. It does not matter, and it doesn't matter long term. Maybe they say at that time it hurts your feelings, but long term it doesn't mean anything. And I would like, it's those two things. Stop worrying about what other people think about you or say, right? Because it does not matter at all. And we keep going. I thought so many times it was over, and you really can fail your way to success, man. But you just got to stop worrying about what those people think. It doesn't matter at all. Stop the fear of judgment. Doesn't matter. And I look back on the stuff I cared about back then, and I'm like, dude, I had no idea, right? Zero. But it's hard to tell someone at that age, right? Because people around them are influenced. So I understand it. But if you could get over that fear of judgment, right, and stop trying to make everybody else happy, make yourself happy first, and then you can make everyone around you happy.
Oh, I love that. So how would people support you and follow you?
So all social media platforms, Dustin Gutkowski. I'm probably the only one. Instagram is Dustin Gutkowski RR, but Dustin Gutkowski, all platforms. There's not really any others on there, right? So go find me. If you have any questions, I always say everything personal, go on there. I'm also on Patrick Bet David's app, Manect. So if you actually have business questions, you can connect with me on there. It's a great app to get anyways, not just for me, but people in general. There's a lot of like experts and fields on there. So you can ask them questions, and you pay like by minute or however you want to, you know, do it, whether it be a text. But if you have business related, just reach out to me on there. If you have questions, anything personal, connect on social media. I'd love to help in any way I can.
Yeah, I just want to really thank you for your time. You shared so many insights. This was such an amazing episode. You came prepared. You shared so many gems. I know the guests got a lot of value. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate having me on.
Another great episode. Thank you for listening. Hopefully this information was valuable and you learned a lot. Stay tuned for the next episode. This show is sponsored by you. No Degree wants to remain free from influence so that we can talk about the topics without bias. If you think the show is worth a dollar or two, please check out our Patreon page. Any amount is appreciated and will go towards making future episodes even better. Follow us on Instagram or Snapchat at No Degree Podcast, on Facebook at facebook.com/nodegreeinc. If you want to personally reach out to me, connect or follow me on LinkedIn at Junaid Iqbal, spelled J-O-N-A-E-D, last name I-Q-B-A-L. Until next time, no degree, no problem. NoDegree.com.